And if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles while waiting on a handout, I don't think I put that portion of it in it, but everything else is in. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12. Proverbs 18 and verse number 12. Over the last couple of weeks, we talked about thanksgiving and thankfulness. So we'll pick up on our aspect. Raise your hands if you would, if you need a handout. They've come in the back door here, so we got to let them make their way around. We talked about a place of honor begins at the bottom. And then this past time we talked about this, we talked about a place of honor begins with service. And tonight we'll go a little further as we get these handouts. Got some here toward the front as well, Brother Leonard. The place of honor begins with humility. Now, how many of us remember the old song? It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to wake up in the morning because I get better looking each day. Well, that's not a whole lot of humility, but that was kind of a catchy song, kind of humorous song. And we, of course, enjoyed that, hearing that song every time it came on the radio as a teenager. I remember hearing that song, but that's not the attitude that we are to have as Christians, as believers. And we'll talk a little bit tonight in our continued study on the place of honor, with the place of honor begins with humility. Miss Marlene over here needs one as well. Anyone else? And we'll get started. Miss Agnes. I've got mine filled in already. Yeah. All right. The place of honor begins with humility. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer after I read our text. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Help us together tonight as we study, Lord, and we continue with our theme and our study on the place of honor. Help us, Lord, as we go through these passages of scriptures to be reminded of the importance of humility, and Father, and how we are to do our best, Lord, in our service and ministering unto others. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. You know, this third part, the place of honor begins with humility. It's a whole lot easier to be in that place of humility when we practice that number one and number two we talked about service or honor begins at the bottom, not at the top, where the place of honor begins with service. When we realize our place in order with the Lord and beginning and realizing that our Savior was a meek and lowly servant, that helps us with that aspect of humility. And so we'll look at a couple passages of scripture tonight and a few things to go along with that. There in your notes, 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time." Boy, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody, me first, as opposed to allowing the Lord to elevate us and to exalt us. Luke chapter 18 and verse 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So here we have humility comes with many advantages in the Christian walk, and we'll look at a few things here. What is available for those who walk humbly before God? Letter A there, God lives with the humble. God lives with the humble. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite ones." God lives with the humble. And it's so good to know that God is the one, if we just allow him to lift us up as we need to, and just have a desire to have the Lord to live with us, to encourage us, and to serve others. We talked about the previous weeks. God lives with the humble. Then letter B, God listens to the request of the humble. Folks, I don't know about you, but I can always remember in raising my kids and now with my grandkids, and is when they get excited about a lot of things, but when you see that little bit of humility, maybe a little bit of fear combined with the humility, some things they want, and they come to you and asking with that little shy, sheepish look about, "Can you help me with this? Can you do this?" And I can't imagine how our Lord feels as well with that humble heart as we come before the Lord. He says he listens to the request of the humble. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 27. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend my clothes, and wept before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." And then Psalm 91, Psalm 9, in second part of verse 12. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Well, what an attribute to have in the Lord is that the aspect of humility and the desire to genuinely to serve others, to genuinely for the Lord to use you in making a difference as you labor in the Lord and serve others in Jesus' name. Letter C, the humble are the recipients of more grace. The humble are recipients of more grace. James chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. All that aspect of humility. And I remember the pastor giving the illustration of when I was in Bible college and challenging young preachers to, you know, don't be so excited. He wants us to be excited about preaching worship, but don't be so excited to stand before people. Don't be so excited or irreverent or lose your humility when you just walk up on the platform and try and encourage young men. And he remember he gave an example when he was in Bible college about a gentleman. He always dressed really nice, always really sharp, always, you know, always the one to enter the room with his mouth wide open, always the one to be the first to say, look at me. And the first time that he stood up and preached in the preacher boys class, and of course, as I mentioned, as I went to school, we were always graded, you know, went up there with such great confidence and excitement. And up there, and it's kind of floundered and had some difficulties. He struggled his way through his message and left down from the platform with so much humility and feeling of defeat as he went down, as he lost his place and scrambled through his notes. And the instructor made the comment, young man, if you'd walked up the way you walked down, God might have used you in between. Oh, how we need to have that act of humility and realize under so much that we can do. God has given us gifts, and there's things that we can do, but let's make sure that we're doing it in Jesus' name, that we're doing with that humility. Letter D, he exalts and lifts up and promotes the humble. Well, I tell you what, folks, if I'm going to be congratulated, lifted up, promoted, I want it to be by the Lord, amen? He says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In James chapter 4, in verse number 10, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Boy, I tell you, I'm ever so reminded of that aspect of him, wanting him to use me and to lift me up. And that's what we should be in our Christian walk. Taking the opportunity to say, Lord, use me today to be a blessing. Use me today. Give me an opportunity to encourage someone in that aspect of humility. I know sometimes we get eager, we get a little overconfident, and sometimes, and I know in my younger years, one of my preachers that I grew up when I was a teenager said, young man, you take a step back. I appreciate your zeal, but we don't need to be ready to charge hell with water pistols all. You know, we need to make sure that we do it with the Lord and God's movement and God's timing. Said, I love that zeal. I like that zeal. But let's remember that aspect of humility and service, and that we can't do it alone as we work together in reaching others for Christ. And then notice also letter E. He says the humble are truly great. Our Lord says this, the humble are truly great. Matthew chapter 18, again, verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, for the young one, oh, for us to desire to be really greatly used of the Lord and say, Lord, help me, use me, encourage me. Father, you lift me up. Letter F, humility is a requirement for true riches, honor, and fullness of life. Humility is a requirement for true riches, honor, and fullness of life. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Let me read that again. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. No, it really doesn't matter where we are and what stage of life we are in our Christian life. That aspect of humility and saying, Lord, just being prepared for the Lord to use us at any time, at any place, in any situation. Folks, I've known through the years, I have met some young men and their families through the years traveling, raising support, going to the mission field. I can remember meeting some young men and young ladies with such great humility. And in my younger years, wondering sometimes, they are so meek, they are so humble, will they ever be able to be effective? Now, it sounds like an oxymoron, but think about it. They've got great humility, but they're so meek, so introverted, so quiet, and that sometimes we might use the word in the world so mousy. How in the world is the Lord ever going to use it? Find a way to step out that comfort zone. Fast forward many years later, running into some of these young missionaries in Africa, in South America, some other parts of the country. It was so good to see them. The young couple now, like us, we were a little bit older, had children, and now we've went from 2 to 4 on a furlough. They have gone from 0 to 3 or 4, and they're there, they're sharing their ministry, and they're showing the video and going through the ministry, and I thought, wow, there is a meek and mild family with great humility that God used in every step of the way that we've talked about in these steps tonight. He truly blessed them, and He gave them and blessed them tremendously. He exalted them. He lifted them up. He used them in a way, and these requirements of riches and honor, that God used them to reach a multitude of people in those 8 or 12 years had been since I've seen them, and all for the aspect of truly maybe feeling like they're not God's gift to the world. But Lord, I've got one thing. I've got availability. And they just stepped in and said, Lord, use me. And God used them. Folks, it doesn't matter where we're at in our Christian life. God just wants us to be available. God will equip us, give us the tools, the timing, when necessary, for Him to use us to make a difference in the life of others. Number two, three that we talked about in our pace here tonight, the place of honor begins with humility. And then number four in our outline, developing true humility. Developing true humility. How hard it is to go from a braggart to one of humility. How hard it is to go the one that seems to shine in the glimmer of their natural testimony, just who they are, their personality, and for God to change that and use that to help them to be realizing more of using, let God use them with the gifts that He provides instead of those natural things that come so easy for them. Developing true humility. Letter A, look to serve instead of to be served. Look to serve. That's one of the things I learned real quick on the mission field when we were in Eastern Europe, and I think I shared with you a few weeks ago how to them labels and titles were important. You know, they didn't just introduce themselves, hello, I'm Daryl, but I'm Daryl the engineer. I'm Tony the welder. Those titles were very important. And sometimes when they would introduce me, and some of those that got saved and our ministry began to grow, they always want to make sure they introduce me as pastor. But this is Douglas Cook, the good reverend, the pastor, whatever, how that translates from Russian into English, I couldn't quite grasp it all the time. But somewhere along the way, also, I begin to recognize and notice in this aspect with many of our people that no matter their title, no matter how sometime they came across when I first met them, as they begin to grow in the Lord, they begin to get involved in church and begin around the church, all of a sudden those things begin to fade away. And they just wanted to serve others. They just wanted to be a blessing. They wanted to be a help and a source of encouragement. And they began to look to serve instead of being served. They began to look to help instead of being recognized. Letter B, stay fresh in your relationship with God. Stay fresh in your relationship with God. In other words, nothing breeds hardness of the soul like a stale relationship with God. Folks, I tell you what. The good, best example I can give, as you know, this winter time, I'm excited. I love the winter because that means I get soup almost every single day. I love soup. And I like cornbread. I had cornbread. Michelle made some good old homemade buttermilk cornbread last night to go with our beef vegetable soup. Oh, how good it is. But I also like simple saltine crackers with my soup. Nothing's worse than to go into cupboards, pull out those crackers, and they're stale. I mean, even though you're going to crumble them up, and even though you're going to soak up a little bit of that soup, it's just not the same. And it should be the same way with our relationship with the Lord. Always fresh and never stale. Always excitement. Don't allow yourself to lose the vigor and the excitement of sitting down and opening the Word of God or sitting down and praying or being around other believers and talking about the goodness of the Lord. Don't let it go stale. Stay fresh in your relationship. Again, nothing breeds that hardness of the soul like a stale relationship with God. Letter C, find no service too small for you to do. Don't ever think there's something that's too menial, too small for you to do. No, I am so grateful for those that serve in the ministries through the years I've been involved with and all aspects in all churches. Those who are willing to work behind the scenes, to come in and to vacuum, to clean the toilets, to clean the nursery, to work outside in the weeding and doing things around the churchyard, just not needing any recognition, just coming in, getting it done and leaving. Has this desire, that aspect of humility and service, that nothing is too small for you to do. Letter D, look for opportunities to serve that no one will know but God. Look for an opportunity to be a blessing. Leaving that little note to someone, let them know you appreciate them and you pray for them. Just don't make the mistake the preacher does and call Mrs. Pat, Miss Pat, when you signed a little note that you think is secret. She said, I knew it was you, preacher. You're the only one that calls me Miss Pat. You know, be a little slicker, a little slyer about it when you do it. But take an opportunity to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, doing something that needs to be done. You know, we live in a time today that people have no problem walking across the field, walking across the parking lot, and just stepping over trash as opposed to just picking it up whether nobody sees it or not. Just being a blessing, saying, Lord, I want to be a blessing. And Lord, lay someone on your heart, whether it's a phone call, a text message, or a secretive note where you put slip in their Bible, put in their pew where they normally sit, say, yeah, I just want you to know, man, you're a blessing. I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Again, find no service too small for you to do. Look for opportunities to serve that no one else will know of. And then letter E, take the lowest position first. Just be willing to take the lowest position. It really doesn't matter, because you know what? Even when you step on the ladder, you got to hit the first rail before you can hit the top one. And eventually, when you stand on that bottom rail, somewhere along the way, as you serve the Lord and do it in humility, serve the Lord in the way God wants you to, He has a way of turning that ladder the other direction. You got to start somewhere. Just go ahead and step on that first rung and say, Lord, use me. Help me to be a blessing. I just want to get in somewhere. I remember some time ago, again, a lot of my illustrations are working with churches that have been struggling and then working before that, working in the military. But I can remember being in the service and challenging our people and encouraging some of those young soldiers. Pastor, you know, I want to serve. What can I do? And I want to get more involved. And they were still struggling and never had to worry about having a good haircut when you work in the military. They're not all good, but they're all short. But anyway, and I can remember some of those guys coming in, and sometimes they looked like they just rolled out of bed, they wore their clothes the night before, and they weren't still through the night. I mean, they looked like an all wrinkled mess. And they get all excited, we get in church, they begin to grow in the Lord, they want to serve. And I said, well, sure. I said, what do you think you can do? You want to preach for me next? Oh, no, I don't want to do that, Pastor. I just want to, somewhere where I can give back, where I can do a little more and be involved like some of these other guys. And, of course, I usually would start with them ushering or helping at the door, or helping, especially during the winter. In the winter, we'd help with getting the door open and close with the wind or clearing the parking lot. Little things are ushering. And all the things I've always noticed with some of those young men, you give them a responsibility, encourage them to serve, and starting out somewhere. And they said, Preacher, whatever it is, coming in, helping you clean up, they just wanted to serve. And that's what's so exciting as a pastor, to see these young people, seeing families and young Christians willing to take that lowest position, no matter what it may be. I just want to serve. And often I would start them off with an usher. You mean the guys that walk down the aisle and take the money? Well, I said, yeah, they don't take it. They just hold the plate and let people give. They don't take it, you know, especially some of these big boys. And they say, well, I'll be standing up there in front of everybody. Well, yeah, if you're going to usher, you'll come to the front. And they look back and said, I got to go out and get me some better clothes. I said, well, that'd be good. You want to start next Sunday? You want me to give you a couple of weeks? No, I'll go to PX this week. I'll get me a new pair of slacks and a shirt. And I know how to iron because I learned in basic. And as I've noticed, unique how some of those, as they step up in service, want to do things for the Lord, begin to change, and sit, they just been out in the yard doing yard work, wanted to put on something a little nicer, putting on something a little more than just something that they were painting the picket fence with or raking up leaves. But it starts somewhere. And we as believers need to remind ourselves, you know, when it comes to serving the Lord, there's no position too low or too high. Just taking a step of service and being involved somewhere and allowing the Lord to use those things to help us to serve. Dear friends, to be humbled means that I know my worth is nothing apart from the value of Christ in me. And that's what we need to remember. Being humble, having the aspect of humility, and realizing all the worth I have because of Him is because of Christ in me. And anything that God wants me to do, anything that God wants me to be involved with, He will equip me, He will elevate me, He will use me, He will gift me, He will help me to accomplish those things, that aspect of humility. See, God seems to continually choose instruments that are obviously and often unimpressive. He tends to use people. Think about it for a moment. Have you ever thought what John the Baptist might have looked like? I mean, some of them talking about me, he was probably one of those guys that pastor would have said, well, you might need to change the clothes, take up the offering next week. Well, there's no telling what that fellow looked like. Probably needed a haircut, looked a little rough, but I tell you what, he was a voice crying in the wilderness. You know, no matter where it is and how God uses, just making ourselves available and saying, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Christ in me. And again, the aspect of the unimpressive. The world may think that way, but God has used some unimpressive men and women and boys and girls to reach many for the cause of Christ. I can't remember. I shared this illustration and I'll move on. I'm almost finished. But I can remember being in church and Bible college and a pastor referring to a young man named Scotty that was in their youth group, and he's going back years ago because at that present day, he was pastoring a church in Tampa, Florida, and doing a wonderful job, and some years later had the privilege of being in his church. But as a young teenager, he was one of those quiet fellas, always left out. He was a guy that walked around with the glasses with the tape in the middle and his little pack and all the pens in his pocket, you know, like some of you, us, were when we were teenagers. But he was the one that sometimes got teased. Yeah, even in a church group, sometimes got teased. You know how teens will be and get given a hard time. But Scotty was all excited because he was moving from junior high to high school. And that meant he got to go out with the teenagers to the activities and things that were going on and even to the soul winning and visitation. And often when the teens met together, they would very often go out and canvass for an hour, pass out tracts, invite people to church, and then they would go to their activity and have their activity. And a lot of people were worried about little Scotty. Little Scotty didn't weigh 80 pounds soaking wet, probably couldn't find his way out of a wet paper bag. But what a lot of the other teenagers didn't know about this young freshman coming up is that he loved God. He spent time in the Word. He wanted to serve, was willing to serve, and was willing to start on that lower ladder just for God to use him. And when they went out witnessing that day in that plaza there in Florida, people were looking around, they're gathering together, they're all passing out tracts, talking to people, invited them to church. And one of the security guards, one of the police officers working there, had come by the youth director. He's a big fella, about 6'6", 6'8", big fella, was asking about, well, what are all you teenagers doing? With the youth pastor. He said, well, we're here just for a little while. We're going to pass out some tracts. We're not going to disrupt anyone, invite folks to church, and then we're going to go on to our youth activity. He said, well, that's good that you guys got a church group and these kids rallying around. That's wonderful. He went about his way. People went out, and they all ran past the police officer. They all went by passing her out. In about 20 minutes, they got ready to come around. They were passing out tracts, had about 10 minutes left of the 30 minutes to pass out tracts to get back to the bus to go to the activity. And there was little Scotty over there, that 6-foot police officer, who was down on his knees and praying and trusting Christ as a Savior. Because a skinny little teenager, with much humility, felt like no one thought was much. But he opened his mouth and he simply asked the question, can I tell you about Jesus? And he did. And that police officer trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Folks, that aspect of humility is willing to be used no matter where you're at in your Christian life, and in your Christian growth. God has a desire to use each and every single one of us. Now that my eyes are moist, I hope I can read this. The master can skillfully make something of value from what obviously has no value whatsoever. And I'm sure that you've heard this point before, but I'd like to read it. The Touch of the Master's Hand by Myra Brooks Welch. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth its while to waste much time on this old violin. But he held it up with a smile. When am I bid, good folk? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, now two, only two, $2, who will make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no. From the back of the room, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, then wiped the dust from the old violin and tightened up the strings. He played a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid for this old violin, as he held it up by the bow? $1,000, who will make it two? $2,000, who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, $3,000 and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some exclaimed, we do not quite understand. What change is worth? And the answer came, 'twas the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with a soul out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap by the thoughtless crowd, just like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Oh, how God wants to use us in such a way that I don't think that I fully comprehend sometimes, or I think do we as a group understand what God desires, can, and will do for us if we just make ourselves available in that aspect of humility. Philippians chapter 2, as we prepare to close. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, our Savior, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Dear friends, every Christian has a choice between being humble or being humbled. What will you choose? To be humble or to be humbled? Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And Father, the blessing and the joy of service and fellowship. Help us all have a desire to be used of you, Father, that we might humble ourselves, that we might not have to be humbled in the life of the Lord. Father, you know the needs that are represented and things that are going on in the midst. And Father, we pray that you would carefully step in and care for those in need. Pray that you would bless this situation now that's going on in our midst. And Father, I pray that you'd use this in a mighty way that we might glorify thee in our life and our service to the Lord Jesus. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior. Amen. As always, God loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. And let's do what we can. Say, Lord, help me to be in my place.